Going through life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Managing Editor Swanson has just called Bob frantically on the phone. Margaret Jameson, the rebellious daughter of the new city manager, was in another automobile accident. She had just run down a little girl in the tenement district. This time, Bob, instead of suppressing the story, as he did last time at Jameson's request, gave orders to Swanson to run the story, display it prominently in the edition about to go on the press. And now we find Betty and Bob in Bob's office, just after Henderson has left them.
Bob, I wonder how badly hurt that little girl is.
We'll find out in a couple of minutes. Ambulance hadn't arrived yet when Garrity phoned in the story. Oh. Betty, we made a terrible mistake suppressing that story the last time when Margaret Jameson was picked up for drunken driving. If we hadn't, this mightn't have happened. If that little girl is seriously hurt, we're partly to blame for it.
Margaret Jameson is a sick girl, mentally.
All the less reason for her to be running around loose in an automobile. Jungle lion in the children's playground would be less of a menace.
Well, we've received no call so far, Bob.
Huh?
Nobody's called to ask us to suppress the story this time.
They'll try something, be sure of that.
They may not have the nerve. After all, this is a pretty ghastly thing.
Yes? What's the dope, Swanson? Badly hurt, huh? I see. Jameson girl been arrested? Uh-huh. Okay, Swanson.
The girl?
She's in a bad way. 10 years old.
Oh.
According to witnesses, the car was going considerably above the speed limit, for that neighborhood especially. And then...
No, don't, Bob.
Well, that's just one more thing those people who put Jameson into office will have to pay for. Werner, Chase, and Anderson.
Our noble city councilman.
Yeah. Werner in debt. Chase with his women. Anderson with his ambition. If they're in this, as I believe they are, they're responsible for that little girl. They brought Jameson to this town. With Jameson came a daughter, a wild, unbalanced girl who ought to be in a sanatorium somewhere. Yes? Who? Martin Anderson. Yes, send him right in.
Martin Anderson.
That's right, Betty. I told you they were going to do something about trying to kill this story, but I must admit I didn't think they'd try to do it in person. And Martin Anderson at that.
The ambitious Mr. Anderson.
Come in, Mr. Anderson. Mr.
Drake.
How are you, Mr. Anderson? I'd like you to meet my wife.
Oh, so you're Mrs. Drake.
How do you do, Mr. Anderson?
Well, you're a pretty famous couple. And I hear rather a dangerous couple.
Only to the wrong people. Won't you sit down, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I will.
What can I do for you?
Drake, this is a rather ticklish subject, considering your position as a newspaper publisher.
What I've done once, I can do again.
You're pretty quick, aren't you?
That is what you've come for, isn't it? To ask me to suppress the news about Margaret Jameson's latest escapade?
That's putting it very directly, Drake. I like direct men. Tell me, Mrs. Drake, don't you find that one of your husband's most attractive qualities?
Yes, I do.
I'm a friend of Jameson's, Drake.
Yes?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was the one who recommended him for the city manager job.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Old Ellsworth is a peculiar chap. Have you met him?
Yes. Yesterday.
You like him?
I don't know him well enough yet.
How about you, Mrs. Drake?
Yes, I've met him. And his daughter, too.
That's a very unhappy relationship. But to get back to Jameson, Drake, whatever you may think of him from first impression, he's a very able man. As professor of economics at the State University, he had a very enviable record. And then in the Department of Budget...
I know his record quite well, then.
We're lucky to have him here in Monroe. He can straighten out a lot of things in this town.
I assume that's why the city council elected him.
But as I said, you mustn't let first appearances deceive you. The death of his wife some 6 years ago was a severe shock to the old man. It gave him a severe case of bad nerves. And if it didn't do anything to his abilities or his competence, well, he's an excellent man.
All right, Anderson, you sold me on him.
That's sarcasm. Is that one of your husband's qualities, too, Mrs. Drake?
He's never used it on me, Mr. Anderson.
Now, that's no reason for being sarcastic, Drake. Why crucify the old man on account of his daughter?
Why should his daughter be allowed to crucify innocent children?
It won't happen again. And besides, down in that tenement district, those narrow streets and swarms of kids...
She was going over the speed limit.
Oh, I don't believe that.
There are witnesses to that effect.
Are there?
Margaret Jameson has to be taught a lesson. Maybe a jail sentence will set her straight.
You're sort of bloodthirsty, aren't you, Drake?
No, I just hate to see blood being shed needlessly.
Besides, Margaret Jameson won't go to jail.
What makes you so sure of that?
It's not right for her to go to jail.
It'd be right for anybody else to go to jail who did what she did.
She'll be let off with a stiff fine.
Why? Have you spoken to the judge already?
There goes that sarcasm again. No, Drake, it's just that when the facts are impartially presented...
Impartially presented?
Well, she'll be let off with a fine.
The trumpet will raise the roof about it.
No, Drake, I don't think... Well, I know that you've got the reputation of being a journalistic terror, but there's... Well, there's no sense of losing your head about this.
I can think of few things I'd rather lose my head for.
You know, Drake, funny thing about newspaper publishers... I mean publishers with their hearts in the right place.
Go on, Anderson.
They fight for good causes and they get involved in politics. And after a while, they get tired of it all.
Not me, I'm just beginning.
Oh, I don't mean tired of life. I mean they feel the newspaper world is too narrow for them, too confined.
Do they?
Sure. They start thinking of bigger worlds. They start thinking of getting into the mainstream of our national life.
You mean they think of getting into politics?
There you are. Direct to the point again.
You're pretty much to the point yourself.
But running a newspaper and politics are two entirely different things. As a publisher, you're practically your own boss. At least you are.
Thank you.
Or Mrs. Drake shares being boss with you.
She does.
But in politics, you need friends, Drake. People who do you favors. And I know that you'd only go into politics to do even greater good than you're doing now. But you can't do that until you get to the top.
So getting to the top is the all-important thing.
Yes. And how you get there is really of secondary importance.
That's a philosophy that's sort of popular these days, isn't it?
Oh, it's very successful.
Yes, it makes for wars and the slaughter of innocent...
Now, Drake. Let's not take the whole world into this little picture. As a matter of fact, we've gone pretty far afield, haven't we?
That's right. You came to ask a simple favor, and I seem to be pretty stubborn about granting.
I expected you to be stubborn. I also expected you to be reasonable.
I am reasonable. So reasonable, in fact, Anderson, that I wouldn't even give you the answer to your request. I'll let Betty here give it. Betty, in view of everything that Mr. Anderson has just said, and said so well, do you think we ought to suppress that story about Margaret Jameson?
No, Bob, I don't.
Well, there you have it, Anderson. They're turned down.
Mm-hmm. I see. I've met up with the United Front.
Let's hope you always meet up with them.
You're making a mistake. I'm not asking much. You may drive old Jameson to suicide.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, I've tried, and... Well, goodbye, Drake.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Drake.
Goodbye.
I think your husband needs an advisor, and I'm afraid you're not it.
You're quite wrong. I am.
Now, that makes it even more of a pity.
And that's Martin Anderson.
Yes. What do you think of him?
His ruthlessness and ambition show in every pore.
He went out of here awful mad.
That doesn't worry you, does it, dear?
He's a full-fledged enemy.
He's the kind of man you want for an enemy. Because he's probably the enemy of all good and decent people.
He'll be out to get us, Betty.
We're out to get him.
Who'll win?
There isn't any doubt in your mind about that, is there?
No, Betty. None.
So the forces of good and evil join battle in Monroe as they are joining in battle through the whole world. There is only one way to enter the battle, unafraid, as do Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.